Well, praise the Lord. How many of you are expecting better in 2024?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Yes. 2023 may have been a great year for you, you may say, but 2024 can be better.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Isaiah 55. We'll get there in just a minute, but the past 2 weeks we've been looking at the subject of expectations, expecting more in 24. And we talked about that where we set our expectations is the level that we will either rise or sink to. If you don't expect good things, if you're expecting things to be bad, you're probably going to experience that in your life. If you set your expectations that I'm going to strive to do better in my life in certain areas that we've talked about, that you have to set some firm but attainable goals and have some expectation in your life that 2024 is going to be a good year, a better year, a better you. As Pastor Karen said, you know, it's a new year, but we still serve the same good God. Amen. And so we got to change our level of expectation. And when we looked at, when you talked about the word expect, it means to consider probable or certain, to consider reasonable or necessary, to consider bound in duty or obligated, to anticipate or look forward to the coming or the occurrence of. We all have some areas in our lives where we want to be better.
Amen.
Amen. I do. If you're going to make some changes, some things are going to have to be different in your life. Right? We don't have to do it on our own. A key scripture that we've looked at, it was in Ephesians 3:20-21. If you remember, the J.B. Phillips translation says, "Now to him who by his power within us is able to do far more than we ever dare to ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church through Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen." We can make changes because the Holy Spirit resides within us. It's through his enabling power. We can live more sanctified lives, as we looked at the first week. And we can also be better witnesses for Christ, as we looked at last week. This morning, I want to finish up this short series by looking a little deeper at the subject of sharing our faith. If we have the proper perspective on things, we won't get discouraged. We won't get frustrated as we attempt to share our faith in a greater way in 2024. We have to remember, first and foremost, the power to make changes and to change people's lives is found in the Word of God.
Amen?
Amen? The Word of God has always been capable of influencing people, changing people. It will accomplish its intended purpose. If you look at Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11, Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, the New Living Translation reads, "The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit." Always produces fruit. "It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." As we share our faith, we should know and be encouraged that the power to change isn't based on our eloquent speech or our rehearsed monologue that we rehearse in our minds about how good God is and you need Jesus in your life. The power to change them is in the Word of God. Amen. As we share the Word, the good news of the gospel, it is the agent of change, not us. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4:12. It's the word that will change your life. We are a word church. You will get the word here. We believe in the word. It's where the change comes. Through the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit uses the word to change your life. You don't have to wonder about things because you know what God's will is for your life. You know what God's direction is. You know what's acceptable to God and what's not acceptable to God because He wrote it down for us. We don't have to run around and say, well, what am I supposed to do in this situation? How am I supposed to act in this situation? No, we know because the Word tells us. Amen? Hebrews 4:12, the New Living Translation reads, "For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." Have you ever been reading the Word and something on the inside of you told you you need to listen to that? You need to get a hold of that. Amen? You need to stop doing that. Amen? It's the Word of God will cut you. The Word of God will pierce to your very heart and convict you of things. It's not condemnation. That comes from the devil. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God will never condemn you. The Holy Spirit will gently nudge you and say, you need to change that area of your life. You need to get better. Amen? You need not to lose your temper. You need not to be looking at those things. You need to change the way that you treat people, the way that you talk to people. You need to walk in love that we talked about last week. Amen? It's the Holy Spirit will convict you of those things and lead you and guide you, and He will empower you then to make the change. You don't have to try to do it on your own. Many of us in here, before we got saved, tried to turn over a new leaf. It didn't work, right? Tried to turn over, I got to quit that. I got to quit drinking. I got to quit doing drugs. I got to quit looking at pornography. I got to quit doing all these things. You just went back and did the same thing after a short time. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Once you get saved, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that can change you. Amen? Yes. He will change you. Romans 1:16. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It's not just a book of stories or an historical account of the nation of Israel and of Jesus. It has innate power within it to change people's hearts, to change their lives. If they accept it and they begin to apply it in their situation, in their lives, things will begin to change. Amen? You have to change and use it. We'll get to that in just a second. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ," or about the gospel of Christ. "It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile." When you share your faith, when you share the goodness of God, the gospel is the message of the good news that Jesus came to pay the penalty for your sins, that He died for you, that He came for you to be able to become the righteousness of God, for you to be able to be forgiven. He came for all those things. That's the good news. Amen? Yes. When you preach that, when you share that with people, there's power in that. I can't explain it. It just works. It's an innate power that changed people's lives. Amen? Hallelujah. If people are going to change for the better, if the circumstances they're facing or the circumstances that you're facing are going to change, if people are going to be converted and make Jesus the Lord of their life, it will only come through sharing the Word of God. We must make sure that we're faithfully communicating the word. True change, true conversion will only occur if we plant the proper seed. Right? We live in farm country. Most everybody in here grows gardens. Amen? You don't plant corn and expect to get beans. Amen? You're expecting to get corn. You can't try to convince people about Jesus philosophically and with religion. The only way that's going to change them is give them the word. Because Jesus is the word. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He's the embodiment of the word. When you look at Jesus, he is the word. So we need to share the word. And we need to share Jesus with people. Amen? Hallelujah. We need to realize that. When we sow the right seed, things change. I've shared stories about the guys that worked where I went in and took over a shop and as the shop manager, and they were two guys that were Christians, and I called them the prophets of doom. Everybody was going to hell. Didn't matter what. Everybody was wrong. Amen. I didn't even like to be around them. I was a pastor. I didn't like to be around them. Because all they talked about was negative, how bad people were. People don't need to hear that. Amen. Before I got saved, I knew I was going to hell. I didn't need anybody to tell me that. Right? I didn't need anybody to, oh, you got to change. You got to do this. No, I needed somebody to tell me that Jesus came and Jesus loved me enough to go to the cross and to die for me. Amen? And that he cared enough about that, and God raised him from the dead, and I could never get right enough to be right with God. All I needed to do was accept that and believe that and trust that. And guess what? When I did that, things changed. Amen? Things changed in my life. Look at Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We got to sow the right seed. We got to sow the word of God. We got to share the word. Mark chapter 4. Verse 13. This parable of sowing. This is the parable of the sower, of the seed. Sowing and reaping. It's one of the most basic principles found in the Word of God. It's the foundation that a lot of things are built upon. Here in verse 13, this is Jesus speaking. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? And how will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. And in a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, and when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary then. When affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, and the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of the riches and their desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying to them, a lamp is not brought to be put under a peck measure, is it, or under a bed? It is not brought to be put on the lampstand, for nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret, but that it should come to light. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you, and more shall be given to you besides. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him. The value that you place upon the word, the value that you give the word, it will be measured back to you. Amen? In the parable of the sower, we see the same seed, when sown, produces different results. Right? It's the same seed. I'm doing this to encourage you. Jesus wrote this to encourage you. We're talking about sharing your faith. You're not going to experience 100% success when you share your faith with people. You share your faith with some people, they don't care. Amen? It's the people beside on the road where he says, verse 15 there, says, and these are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. When they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which was sown in their heart. Well, how does he do that? That's kind of unfair. If he can just come into certain people, right? Well, the word tells us why that's able to happen. Look at Luke chapter 8. Hold your place there in Mark. Look in Luke chapter 8. The same parables told in three different Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Here in Luke 8, starting in verse 11, it says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. And those beside the road are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. Now hold your place there and turn over to Matthew. As you read all the scriptures, you get a better understanding of what's happening here. So we got Mark. The enemy comes and steals the word. He comes and takes the word because he doesn't want them to believe the word and be saved. And then in Matthew, he gives us a little more insight. Verse 18, Matthew 13, 18 says, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. The enemy comes and steals the word. Says if they do not understand it. It's a better translation in the Greek. They would have been better translated if they come into an agreement with it or they accept it. Not that they don't understand what's being preached. They refuse to accept what's being shared with them. That's how he can steal the word from them. He doesn't want people to get a hold of the word. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says he's blinded the minds of people. He wants to keep them blinded to the truth of how much God loves them, how much he cares for them. Amen? So there are people that you're going to share the gospel with that aren't going to accept it. Go back to Mark chapter 4. And we'll drop down to verse 20. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on good soil. They hear the word and they what? They accept it. Now, one has no change whatsoever. Two of the others that we read here in Mark chapter 4, their change is only temporary. Only one out of four resulted in bearing lasting fruit. Three times as much bad soil as there is good soil. So when we read this parable, where does the blame lie? Is it in the seed?
No.
Is it in the sower?
No.
Is it on the type of soil? Yes. Yes. So as I'm encouraging you to share your faith more in 2024, just be prepared. Jesus prepared you that not everybody's going to accept it with open arms and be all excited about it. You're going to have people like, I don't want to hear that. Amen? This illustrates where the area of responsibility lies. Your only duty is to share the gospel with people. Look at, hold your place there in Mark. Turn over to Matthew chapter 10. If the soil rejects the seed, the soil is responsible. Right? We'll get back to Mark chapter 4 here. Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower is huge if we just grasp it all. It's huge for us. People hear the word. They hear the word. Some people, it changes them. Other people, they don't want to hear anything. Matthew 10, verse 14 and 15, this is Jesus speaking. He said, if any household or town refuses to welcome you or listen to your message, shake its dust from your feet as you leave. I tell you the truth, the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah will be better off than such a town on the judgment day. Go to somebody else and start sharing with them. Kick the dust off your feet and say, you know what? I'm not going to spend a bunch of time. I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm not going to get down. I'm not going to stop, because that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to stop sharing your faith. He wants you to stop being bold. Amen? Look at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. As I talked last week, expect that there are people out there that want to hear what you have to say. Just because somebody shoots you down, just because somebody shot you down a couple years ago, and you quit sharing your faith because you got discouraged, stop that whole mindset in its tracks and say, you know what? I'm going to share more this year. As I said last week, if you didn't share with anybody in 23, make it your goal to share with one person in 2024. You've got 11 months to do it. Amen? You can look around and say, who is it, Lord? Who is it? today. Somebody in the doctor's office, somebody you work with, whatever the case may be. Don't get discouraged and quit sharing your faith. Amen? Don't let people get you down, and don't let people stop you. Don't let people say, well, I tried that stuff and it didn't work. They're the people that did it for a little while and quit. They got discouraged. Persecution arises because of the word. Just because you accept it and believe it don't mean the enemy's just going to say, well, I've lost him. He's going to try to stop you from getting even more into the word. Acts chapter 13, verse 44. The following week, almost the entire city turned out to hear them preach the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Everything was just fantastic, right? Wrong. But when some of the Jews saw the crowds, they were jealous, so they slandered Paul and argued against whatever he said. You ever face anybody like that? They want to argue about everything that you're sharing with somebody. Well, that's not true. And everything they argue about isn't based in the word. It's just based on things, their own mindset. Amen? Show me chapter and verse where you're getting your theology at. Well, I have my own theology. Well, then it's no theology, it's just your opinion. Right? Some argued, whatever he said, then Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and declared, it was necessary that we first preach the word of God to you Jews, but since you have rejected it, the same thing that Jesus talked about, that people would not accept it. If you don't accept it, you reject it, right? He says, since you've rejected it and judged yourselves unworthy of eternal life, we will offer it to the Gentiles. For the Lord gave us this command when he said, I have made you a light to the Gentiles to bring salvation to the farthest corners of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were very glad and thanked the Lord for his message. Hallelujah. You got some people over here that all they want to do is argue. Don't argue. Shake the dust off your feet. And go over here, because there's somebody over here that's going to be excited to hear your message. Yes. The message of Jesus. Yes. You can get so tangled up in trying to prove somebody wrong. That's why I've shared many times. I never get in any debates on Facebook or on social media with people. I've got friends that did it for a while and they just quit, because you can never win. You're never going to win. You've got people, that's all they want to do. You know, you got trolls out there that troll people and try to humiliate people and try to demean people and bully people. Cyberbullying, it's all it is. They'll bring up all kinds of garbage. You don't waste your time doing that. Just quit. You're not going to convince them. Right? You got to look at, okay, I'm not. You can still pray for them. You can still love them, but you can love them from across the street. Right? Go down this side of the street and there's people over here that want to hear your message. The parable of the sower, the key to remember that people, if they do reject your message, there's always someone else who's eager to hear it. Those who refuse to accept it are part of that 25% who don't accept it or believe it. The message I believe that Jesus shared with us many times is, don't get discouraged and start to think that no one wants to hear what you have to share. Expect the next person to be the one. It's all about our expectations. If the person rejects the word or refuses to accept it as truth, we have not failed, they have. It's not your responsibility anymore. Amen? We can't force people to accept the word. as much as you'd like to. Amen? As a pastor, I've seen it over the years. I've seen people that they're headed toward disaster. And I feel like sometimes the thing I feel like is that they're driving at a high speed, ready to drive off a cliff. And I'm standing there and I'm jumping up and down and I'm waving at them to stop. Stop. You're headed for disaster. Your marriage is headed for disaster. Your kids are headed for disaster. You're headed for disaster. And they just wave at you as they drive by and plunge off the cliff. Seen it happen. Reject the word. Some of them even smile at you. I know best. I know the Lord gave me a special dispensation that it's okay for me to do that. No, he didn't. No such thing as a special dispensation. You're just making it up on your own. You're trying to justify why you're living like that and why the choices you're making. It can be heartbreaking. You're telling people you're headed toward disaster. I know what I'm doing. No, you don't. But you just can't convince them. And they end up in disaster. But you know what? Can't give up. Amen? There's other people that need to hear the good news of the gospel. In 2024, if we're going to be better in sharing our faith, we need to learn the joy of sharing the word for its own sake. There's joy in sharing Jesus Christ with other people. Amen? There's joy in telling people that God is a good God and God wants good things in your life and God will bring you out of that pit that you're in and He will pull you out of that pit and He will change your life. Many of you in here have experienced that. You've experienced the goodness of God. God has taken you from a place where you were at and He's raised you up and He's brought you out of that pit. That's what you need to share with people. You don't have to be all theologically correct. You can just say, you know what? The power of God changed my life. Amen. Amen? The power of God saved our marriage. Amen. Amen? Saved ours. We were a wreck, man. We were driving. We'd already plunged halfway off the cliff. Jesus grabbed a hold of us and just pulled us back. Amen? That's the way our marriage was. Our finances, they were down in the bottom of the pit down there. God raised us up. Some of you, health, whatever it is, addiction, God has delivered you from that. Amen? I just didn't drink a little. I drank a lot. God delivered me of that. Amen? Just set me free. I like telling people that. If He did it for me, the Word of God tells us time and again that He's not a respecter of persons. If He did it for me, if He did it for Chuck, if He did it for Mike, He will do it for you. And you just got to accept it and say, you know what? I believe that. We serve a good God. There's freedom in understanding and accepting the fact that we are simply to sow seed. And there's also times we're just called to water some seed. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians 3. Praise the Lord. It's exciting when somebody we're sharing our faith with, it makes Jesus the Lord of their life and they get saved and everything else. That's icing on the cake. We should take joy in sharing our faith with people. Take joy in sharing the fact that maybe we've lived our whole lives. We got saved as a child and we lived our whole lives. What a testimony that is. Amen? That God's been there for us and been with us throughout our high school days and our college days. God was always there. I've always walked with the Lord. What a testimony that is to people. It can be done. Because some people think, oh, this Christian life, this is too hard. No, it's not. Easiest thing in the world. When you make Jesus the Lord of your life, He will change every aspect of your life. Amen? 1 Corinthians 3. The New Living Translation, once again, says, after all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered, but it was God who made it grow. You may plant a seed in somebody's heart, and somebody else comes along and waters that seed, shares the same message with them, shares the goodness of God with them. When they're a receptive heart, they take it in, they're thinking on it, and God will send somebody. Maybe you're just the one that God's sending along just to water it. But it says that God is the one who gives the increase. It's not our responsibility. See, we get all tangled up and we get all bound by thinking we have to see results. We have to change them, people. No, we don't. It's the Word that changes them. It's the Spirit of God that changes them. Amen? Hallelujah. The parable of the sower, only one out of four produced favorable, sustained results. That's a 75% failure rate. Any other occupation, any other job, except maybe playing Major League Baseball, if you hit 250, you can make millions now. Right? That's what it'd be. Batting 250, 25%. Used to be you had to hit over 300. You had to do better. But still, that's not a great percentage when you think about the total aspect of everything. So if you share your faith with four people this year, expect one of them to get saved. Expect one of them to produce favorable results. Amen? Don't take it personal. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the Word. Right? It's all about perspective. Right? It's all about perspective. If you think they're rejecting you, you're going to shut down. You're not going to, I don't have anything. Nobody wants to hear anything I got to share. Right where the enemy wants you to be. We want to be people that are so excited about what God has done in our life. It doesn't matter if we get shot down. We're looking for the next person to share with. Amen? Don't take it personal. Jesus said, don't take it personal. Just kick the dust off your feet and move on. Paul and Barnabas said, well, you don't want to hear what we have to say. You just want to argue about it. We'll go over here and preach to these people. And they were excited about it. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. There will be people who don't want to listen to and accept the message. John chapter 4. Verse 35 and 38, or through 38. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. You know the saying, one plants and another harvests, and it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work. Now you get to gather the harvest. Sowing is the work necessary to one day being able to reap. Sowing involves preparing the soil, planting the seed, In winning souls to Jesus Christ, sowing involves preparation and planting. Reaping is the actual harvesting of what has been sown. Collecting the fruits. Reaping, when it comes to talking about people, is when people who have had the Word of God planted in their heart by somebody, maybe you come along and share the Word with them, and something in them just breaks. And they're like, I need that. I need that. Amen? Loving on people. I've shared the story in the past many times about a young lady and her husband who came to our church, and they argued out in the parking lot. She didn't want to come in. And he's like, we need to go in. And so they came in, and she wanted to go to the restroom, but by the time she went to the restroom, she had several women who just loved on her and hugged on her and told her it was so great to have her today and welcomed her. She was ready to get saved before I ever preached a word. It wasn't my fantastic sermon that brought her to the altar that day. It was the love that people demonstrated to her that broke down all the walls. Amen? Breaking down those walls that we talked about. The love of God. Sometimes you don't even have to say anything to people. Just love on people. Let them see Christ in you. Those who sow don't always witness the reaping that one may occur sometime. You may sow the seed with somebody, you may never see him again. Get to heaven, they're going to come up to you and say, you know what? You sowed some seed into my life. You shared the gospel with me, and I thought about what you shared with me, and I thought about it. And somebody else shared, and I went to church, and I got saved, and I'm here. You're never going to know that until you get to heaven. Then they put another little jewel in your crown that you were responsible for those people being there. Oftentimes, you're going to be sowing the seed, and it's not going to appear that you're getting any results. You just got to keep sowing. But you know what? You do that, but there's going to be times when you're sowing the seed that you're there to harvest. Amen? You're there to see somebody say, you know what? I just need to pray. I need Jesus. I need him in my life because somebody else planted something in them, and somebody else watered it, and somebody else watered it over here, and somebody else watered it, and they just fell into your lap. What a great soul winner I am. Right? Had nothing to do with you. You were obedient to share with them, but they had been sown, and they had been watered, and people had been speaking to them, and you just happened to be the one that was there the day that they decided to make Jesus the Lord of their life. Be ready. Expect God to use you. Amen? The point to keep in mind, we've got one more scripture here. The point to keep in mind is that evangelism involves both sowing and reaping. There will be times when what you sow will be reaped by someone else. I just want to encourage you this morning that when it appears that you're not reaping as you would hope you would be, you're actually making it some easier for somebody else, some brother or sister, to reap in the future. We're just to sow. We're just to sow. Go on our merry way, sowing the word. Amen. Some people are going to reject it. I don't want to hear that. Other people say, oh yeah. They're around for a little while and then they drop off because they have no root. You got to get people rooted. Amen. In the word. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, the New Living Translation reads, "Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your own heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully." The principle of sowing and reaping applies to many areas of our life, not just giving. Successful salespeople understand if you're going to increase your sales, you got to increase your sales calls. Amen? If you're selling real estate, you got to have clients to show houses to, right? Got to come up with that. The same principle applies to the area of sharing our faith and witnessing. If we desire to reap more, we got to be willing to sow more. Say, "Well, I'm just not a very good person at this." Well, that's what this teaching is all about, to encourage you to share your faith with one more person this year than you did last year. If we all do that, that's a bunch of people. Amen. The people that are listening on Podbeam, the people that are watching the YouTube. If everybody says, "You know what, I'm going to do one." Well, just imagine, what if we all do two? Or let's get crazy. How about three? We're going to share our faith with three more people this year. Don't want to put, just decide, "You know what, I'm going to get better at it." People get frustrated and they quit sharing their faith because they've been rejected. Jesus warned us, you're only going to have a 25% success rate, right? Some may have more, but expect that you are going to meet at least one out of four persons that are going to want to hear what you have to say. They all need to hear what you have to say. Some of them are going to just flat out reject it. Concentrate on the ones that want to accept it. If we increase the level of sowing, the level of reaping will rise proportionately. If you want to avoid discouragement, we need to set goals on how many we're actually going to share the good news with. Say, "Well, this month I'm going to endeavor to share with one person." It doesn't have to be some great sermon or some eloquent discourse. Just share from your heart what God has done in your life, what God has done in your finances, what God has done in your body, what God has done in your marriage. Whatever it is, share. Might be exactly what that person needs to hear. Amen. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's your word that contains that power to change people's lives, Lord. It's the word that we share that cuts people to their very heart, Lord. Ministers to them. Breaks down those walls that of resistance, Lord. And we thank you and praise you that you've given us your word, that we can just trust your word. And Lord, it's my prayer that each and every one of us would be better at sharing our faith in 2024 than we were last year. One more person, Lord, that we can share and bring into the kingdom of God. We just thank you for that. Praise you for that and give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Amen.